Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the grace of Almighty God. It is marvelous grace for sure. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Kings in chapter 17. Seems like it's been forever since we've been in our study on the life of Elijah, on Wednesday nights. But we've had a lot of other things taking place, but it's a blessing to be able to get back into this study. I think it's been a powerful study up to this point, and looking at the life of Elijah, we know that he's a man of God in the Old Testament. He's also, we find that he's in the New Testament. Jesus speaks about Elijah, and actually he's there at the Mount of Transfiguration. I also believe that he is going to be one of those two witnesses and that the book of Revelation talks about during the tribulation period. And so Elijah is a powerful, a servant of the Lord. And this is the beginning. This is the first mention of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. And so we've been looking at a lot of the things, and God has him on mountaintops and then takes him to a valley and going through all sorts of different things and preparing Elijah for God's purpose for his life. He went from standing before King Ahab and telling him that God was going to judge him and there was going to be no rain, and what a powerful experience that would have been. He comes out of that experience and then he has to go hide. And I think it's a humbling experience to have to hide, amen, after being presented as such a powerful man to stand before the king of Israel. And God has a way of encouraging us and strengthening us, but then he has also a way of keeping us where he wants us to be, amen. Keeping us humble before the Lord. And praise the Lord, that's never a thing that you want to have to go through and experience to humble you, but we all need it. Amen? And praise the Lord for those times that are meant to just bring us to our knees and humble us before an almighty God. And so we find Elijah after that powerful, and he's going to get back up on a mountaintop. And so if you know the story, but right after the first mountaintop, he has to, now he goes hides. Now, after a period of time in Cherith, and some believe it's around 2.5 years, they're all alone, just him and God and the ravens. And every time the ravens would bring him, ate twice a day. Amen. I think there's something to that, I really do. But every time the ravens would bring him food to sustain him, he would be reminded of who God is, how God could take care of me through the ravens. How God could bring me enough food and nourishment, and God would protect me. And all so almost 2 years, over 2 years, he was going through that, a very humbling experience, but yet it also was a time that he would realize the power of God as he would see the miracles of God every day. And what a blessed thing that was as we studied that. Well, now we find that God tells Elijah to go to Zarephath. And he told him to ask a woman of Zarephath to sustain him. A humbling experience, no doubt, for a man of God to have to depend upon a woman to take care of him. Amen? But praise the Lord. You know, that's all right. I'm making a joke there, but it's all right. That's all right. You can laugh if you want. So he has to go to Zarephath. Now, he's thinking, I would have been thinking this, if God tells me to go somewhere and there's going to be a woman there that's going to sustain me. I'm thinking, well, this has to be a pretty well-to-do lady. I mean, she's going to have enough to sustain her and another family, another person. And so he's thinking that he's going to go and going to find this wealthy woman that has a lot and be able to take care of him. When he gets there, he finds a widow woman with a son, and both of them are so poor that they're getting ready to die of starvation, planning on eating one last meal and then dying. Not what you'd have expected. You know, it took him a long time and to get to Zarephath, and once he gets there, his expectation might not have been all that they turned out to be, but he gets there and he finds a widow woman with a son and ready to die. Now, and this is what we taught the last lesson in chapter 17 down to verse 13. How could Elijah ask? How could Elijah, this powerful man of God, ask someone who was getting ready to die? didn't have any food, didn't have anything, how could Elijah ask this woman to sustain him? And the other question is, why would she obey? Why would this woman obey and feed him her last bit of meal? And she, when she didn't have anything. And we said that the answer to both those questions, how could he ask and why would she obey, was faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. To get people to understand that you need to obey the words of God. And what you need, if you're going to have God's blessings on your finances, you have to do what God says with your finances. How can that preacher ask these little old ladies and out these people how to tithe to the church when they don't have it? It's not me asking, it's me preaching God's will.
Amen.
You know, I mean, yeah, a lot of shysters will try to take advantage of the elderly and try to take advantage of others, but they'll get their payment, they'll get their judgment. But when you have faith in God and know that you need God more than he needs you. And so we studied that. How could Elijah ask and why would she obey? And the answer to both is because they had faith in God. Well, that leads us to verse 13 down to verse 16. So go ahead and stand with me. Let's read this. Now, hopefully you've got caught up to where we're at here. And now we're looking at chapter 17, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Now, this is exactly what God told him to say. Outside of that, I don't see how he could have done that, but knowing it was what God told him to tell her, that's exactly what he needed to say. "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, underline, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you tonight, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be in church. And thank you that we have before us your holy word. And God, how we can all read it together and how we can all pray and ask you to speak to us individually and collectively as a church concerning our needs and how we need to be spoken to. Pray that you'd anoint and bless the preaching of thy word once again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, well, tonight, as we read these verses here, we find that both did what God said to do. Elijah did what he was told to do, and the widow woman did what she was told to do. And we find the results out here. And so I'm going to ask you, and what I want to get across tonight, what we want to see here is, what can we expect based on biblical principles that are the same Old Testament, New Testament, based on what God is teaching us through this story that he has preserved for us to read and learn from? And so what can we expect when we do what God says? Can I tell you, they had faith in God, and Elijah had expectations when he convinced this widow woman to feed him first. And this woman had expectations when she understood it was God's will to do just as Elijah said for her to do. Psalms chapter 62. Look there with me. Psalms chapter 62. Do you have expectations when you do what God tells you to do? I think God wants us to have expectations. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you know that you are doing all that God has told you to do, then I believe that as a believer, as a born-again son, child of God's, that we ought to be able to expect God to do that which He says He will do if we do what He tells us to do. In the book of Psalms in chapter 62 and verse 5, it says this, "My soul," and this is the psalmist, he says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is from Him." The psalmist says that just once you do what God tells you to do, then look to God and wait for Him, because you can have expectations according to what He has promised. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. Humbling Himself. It's not in Him and what He's able to do and His abilities. But He says here, again, we find this very same truth that God is working to prepare Elijah in humbling him to where he can be a powerful man of God and do some things that are beyond understanding to us. But in God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. That means just stop and think about that. Spend some time. Don't go on any farther until you have enough time. Selah, that's what that means. It says stop, pause, and think about what you have just read. Think about what God has just said to you and how important that is for us. Because He's saying exactly in this psalm, in the Psalm chapter 62, what God was doing in Elijah's life and what God was doing in this woman of Zarephath's life and what God will be doing in our lives, because God is the same today as He was then. So what can we expect when we do what God says? If or when... And if you're not going through it and not in the midst of some things right now, can I tell you, you will eventually. So if or when you're in the midst of troubling circumstances, no matter how severe, finances, health, family, no matter what it might be, if you're in the midst of some troubling circumstances, no matter how severe, can I tell you, the most important thing for all of us to understand that we need to do is just do what God says to do. And sometimes we don't think it's enough, and other times we think there's more than I can do. But the truth of the matter is if we do what God tells us to do, stop thinking about and focusing on the things that you cannot control. Think and focus on the things that you can do. God is not going to ask you to do something that you cannot do. God is not going to ask you or expect you to do something that goes beyond your capabilities. And so what I have to do if I'm in the midst of this troubling circumstance, no matter what it might be, is look at the circumstances and look at myself and how God has positioned me and say, God, what is your expectations of me? In this situation, in these circumstances, and whatever it might be, God, you are the most important. You control the circumstances of life. You have given to me the abilities and the mindset and the wisdom and the knowledge and what you have given to me, what I have. Outside of you, I wouldn't have it. And so, Lord God, as I find myself in this, help me to focus on not what everyone else is doing, but help me to focus on, God, you positioned me. These are the circumstances. What do you expect from me? Yeah. I love that. Can I tell you, one day you will be glad you did. Think back when you didn't do what God, what you knew God wanted you to do. And how'd that turn out? Yeah, it's not going to turn out. Can I tell you that even the end results might not be exactly how you thought it was going to end? Getting through that trial, you might not get through it the very same way that you thought you might have gotten through that. God might be not be doing what you think that He is doing. But that's not up for you to decide how it turns out. It's not up to you to decide what you have to go through while you're in the midst of the storm. That is not something that you really have control of. What you do have control of is, God, what do you expect from me? And once I know what God expects from me, I'm just going to be committed to doing it. Amen. That's what we find here. It's exactly what God has taken Elijah through this test and why God has taken this widow woman of Zarephath. Now, we know what goes on and happens with Elijah. I believe that this woman of Zarephath had some very powerful things ahead of her as well. In just a little bit, in another week or so, we're going to find that this is preparing her to face the death of her own child. And yet to look to God for a miracle to be done there. And we'll see that in another week or so. But here we find that God was working in their lives. So, the first thing that I want you to see, when they did what God told them to do, they could expect the providence of God. Providence, a manifestation of divine care or direction. You need to know step two. You need to know direction. Do what you know to do right now. Well, now I got to wait until it's all laid out for at least 5 years. One of the things we studied, and we've already looked at this, but the idea of God's will for your life, it's like the headlights on a car. It gives you enough light to drive safely. That's all you really need. Just enough light to know, all right, what's the next step? Where's the next turn? You know, where's the next stop sign? To be able to drive safely, you have enough light in the darkness, if you have headlights on, to be able to see just far enough ahead to drive safely. And I believe that's what God does for us. Now, there's other times that, yes, we need to have some ideas of future plan. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying when you're going through the trials, when you're going through the storms, when you're going through the circumstances of life, from time to time, listen to me, you just need to just learn to depend upon the Lord and do what you know that you can do, what God expects you to do. And as you do what God, you know, God expects you to do, you can expect God to provide. You can expect for God to protect. A manifestation of divine care or direction. Now, as we think about Elijah, he went to Zarephath on the command of God. So he did what he knew he was doing. What did he find when he first got to Zarephath? The first thing the Bible says that he found was a woman of Zarephath that God told him about. He didn't know she would be there. He didn't know that would be the first one that he would meet. But God did. And so as he obeyed God, God says, I'm going to sustain you. And there's a woman of Zarephath. Just go to Zarephath. That's all you can do. You cannot call ahead of time and have the town make sure that she's there to greet you and be the first one that you meet and be the first one to take care of you. You can't do that. Just do what I say and I'll provide. I will do what I say. If you surrender your will to my will and do and obey my expectations of your life, if you obey what I tell you to do, what I expect you to do, listen to me, God's saying, I'll do my part. He went, she was there. just as God said. He asked. As we preached on last time, one of the hardest things, because it might not have been exactly, he didn't tell her she was going to be a poor widow that was getting ready to have their last meal and die. That was God and understood that. He just said, ask her. Stop looking around at the circumstances and just continue to do what I tell you to do. Amen. Stop trying to figure it out on your own. Amen. That's it. Stop trying to figure it out or manipulate the system. Just do what I tell you to do. So he went. She's there. Ask her to sustain you. No matter how hard it might be. No matter what's going on, just do it. He asked, what happened? She provided. The woman, when asked, went. When she was there, God had prepared her. She didn't really understand what was going on, but now this man of God comes and he tells her to feed him first. She didn't understand all of that, but she had been prepared, the Spirit of God. And so when she heard him tell her that, she went. And as she went, just being obedient, doing what she could do, all she had to go back to was just a little meal and a little oil, thinking it was only enough to make one small meal for her and her son that was going to die after that. But she did what she could do with what she had. Because that's all God asked her to do. You already have it. Just go use what you have. And so she went. And she was able to provide. Yeah. The providence of God is when we do our part, you can expect God to do His. Matthew chapter 6. Start here. You know this, but this is exactly the very same biblical principle that he was teaching this, both Elijah and this woman, is what Christ came teaching the very same principles to all believers. Matthew 6, verse 33, you know the verse. I think it's one of the most powerful counseling verses in all the Bible. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek out God's will for your life. What is right for you to do. And all these things shall be added unto you. All these things, whatever it might be. All means all. We just got to make sure that we're doing what God has told us to do. What we can do. We can all seek God. We can all put Him first. Chapter 7, right after that. Chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. Look what he says, ask, and it shall be given you. But if you ask not, you have not. Well, I don't know. I just don't understand how prayer works. And how could just spending time alone and just talking to God, how can that help? How can I expect God to do something when all I have to do is ask? Now, I can see it if I get out and work for Him, I do this and that and everything else. But the Bible says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. What's He saying? Do what I tell you to do, and let Me do My part. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Meaning that everyone that fails to ask, amen. God's not going to do work because you're not doing what He tells you to do. Prayer was designed by God. Amen. He that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Luke chapter 22. We got to nail this, hammer this home, if you will. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 7. Sometimes we think, well, I can't do much. And really, I can't see how what I can do can really help the situation. Stop trying to figure it out. Look to God. Know what God would have you to do with who you are and what you have. He's not going to ask you to do more than that. Just with who you are, what you have, where you're at a certain time, and do what God tells you to do at that moment, at that time, with what you have, do it. And you'll see God's providence. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" How are we going to get this done? And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there. Make ready." Now I'm thinking, as they would have been thinking, you haven't been there yet. How in the world will somebody there know you and know that what we need? And then how can we furnish it to get ready in such a short period of time? There might have been a lot of doubtful questions. And when you have doubt, you're limiting God. Amen? And you're spending more time focused on what you can't do when you should be spending that time focused and thinking about what you can do. But look right at this, verse 13. And they went. They just said, "Well, let's do what he says to do." And found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover. They just went. They couldn't have had the time enough to do it. Couldn't have rented the place. But just did what he said to do. And can you believe it? It was just as he said it would be.
Amen.
Yeah. I believe that expectation's the same today. Yeah. Well, not only did they witness the providence of God, but they realized the possibilities with God's intervention. Now, we can't see how it's going to get done if we only have our understanding and our abilities to get it done. But when you have an almighty creator God intervening, the possibilities are limitless. With God's intervention, look at verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Every time she went to the barrel, there was just enough in there to feed them for that meal. She went back to the barrel. Miraculously, there was just enough meal in there to feed them. The next day, she goes to the barrel. You know what's there? Just enough meal. The next day, for almost 2 years, somewhere around 2 years, every day, she'd go back to the barrel. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. She went to the oil. There's just enough there just to make whatever cakes that they were making. Every time she would go back, because it wasn't her providing. God has means that we don't even know exist. According to the wasted not, the meal wasted not, and the cruse of oil failed, did not fail not, according to. So my expectations of God is dependent upon what God has promised. according to what God has said. Philippians chapter 4. Just about finished here. I want you to get that. I mean, we got a few more verses I want to take you through, but Philippians chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Apostle Paul writing to the believers. And the God of peace shall be with you. So, what does God expect from us to be able to receive the promise, or for us to expect the peace of God? Do what you know to do. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Then verse 13 he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, God's part includes a possibility of miracles. Now, 99.9% of the time, God is going to work through natural means, because God established nature. He established natural things. And 99.9% of the time, you'll see that God works in somebody else's life, maybe to do something or to say something, send a card, send some help, financial help, whatever it might be, maybe the church to be able to step in there and maybe give you a boost while you're down. And that's through natural means, but God is directing the natural means to be able to. It could be that God uses a doctor to be able to help you with some physical problems, or he can use medication of some sort to be able to help you with the physical problem, whatever it might be. But can I tell you that it's God that is bringing this thing to light and bringing the natural things and the technology that he has allowed humanity to have today. It's God working in that natural realm to be able to bring it, to be able to meet whatever needs we had. But God is not limited. We are limited to the natural. God is not limited to the natural. 99.9% of the time he's going to work through the natural, but God is still a miracle working God. And if it's going to take a miracle, can I tell you, it was a miracle that put the meal in that bucket every time. It was a miracle that put the oil where it needed to be. Every time she would go to it, it wasn't a natural means. It was a miraculous means, and God is still a God of miracles today. So when we do our part and we expect God to do his part, even if it's going to require a miracle, God can still perform miracles. Yeah, amen. I want to take you through some verses. Now, I want you to just let God speak to you through these verses, because we need to understand this. Matthew chapter 19. If I go too fast, write them down. I think you want to go back through these. Whenever you're in the dumps, whenever you're feeling blue, whenever you're being overwhelmed with the things around you, you need to remember these verses. You need to remember these verses. And because of these verses, encourage yourself to do what God expects you to do. You can do what God expects you to do in Matthew chapter 19. I want you to start there. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, and then we're going to work our way through. Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, this is the words of Christ. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You're relying on men, doing what a man tells you to do. Listen to me. With men, this is impossible. If you are relying on God and doing what God tells you to do, with God all things are possible. Mark chapter 9. Just walk through the Gospels here. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 to start with here. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says this. Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That all things again. You just got to believe. You just got to have faith. What's faith going to help you to do? It's going to help you to do what you can do. It's going to help you to do your part. And then going to give you peace of mind to know that God will do His. Chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, verse 27. We're just moving through the Gospels. Mark chapter 10, verse 27 says this. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I love that. Look on chapter 14, Mark chapter 14, verse 36. You find it through the Gospels, the teachings of Christ. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Even Christ, Jesus Himself. And He said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from Me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. Give God the option to do what He feels best. Yeah. He's able, but it might not be exactly the way that you want it to turn out. And if you've asked and you've done your part, it has turned out the way God wanted it to turn out. Whether you understand it or not, faith will help you to receive it, accept it, move on to the next situation, circumstance concerning what I can do in this one. Life is filled with trials. Life is filled with obstacles for the believer. Look at the book of Luke in chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Comes back to Luke and he says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. He can do whatever it is He wants to do. And God has the whole world and eternity in view when He's working in each and every one of our lives. Chapter 18, Luke chapter 18, just looking through, going through the Gospels here and seeing these promises, these thoughts that Jesus Christ gives to us, the Word of God gives to us. And Luke in chapter 18 in verse 27. And He said, the things which are possible with men, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Different situations, that the truth is the same. God is able. There's nothing that God cannot do. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. We're getting ready to close. John chapter 2, verse 5. Find the first miracle of the Lord. Not only can God work through the natural means, but God, if He chooses to, can work a miracle. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you to do, unto you, do it. If you want to experience a miracle, whatever it is that God has told you to do, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And He said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but look right here, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine, the most flavorful wine, until now. I guarantee you, every one of those that put the water, just did what He said to do, were rejoicing, jumping up and down, shouting, because they knew no one else knows, God will always give us a little insight. I did this for you. I want you to acknowledge, I want you to be aware of what I did for you. Throughout my life, I've had a few different experiences like that, that I knew that no one else would have been able to do what God had done for me. We need to settle it in our minds that I'm just going to do what I know God has told me to do. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the trial, no matter what else is going on, no matter what anyone else does, I'm going to just focus on doing what God expects me to do. And when you do what God expects you to do, you can expect God to do what only God can do. What a great lesson. What a great lesson. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. So I don't have to get overwhelmed by the things I can't control. Don't have to lose sleep over the things that I can't do. I just got to find peace in doing all that I can do. Great lesson for Elijah. It would help him to become and accomplish all the great things that God would have Elijah to accomplish. It would help this woman of Zarephath to be able to accomplish all that God would have for this woman of Zarephath to accomplish for the rest of her life. I don't know what you might be going through tonight, and I don't know all the circumstances, but I know that God is very much aware. And if you'll do what God expects you to do, it'll prepare you for what God has in store for you for the rest of your life. Anyone else? Right now is an open invitation. Not going to have a musical invitation. Very seldom do on Wednesday night, but there's always an invitation. There's always an opportunity to respond to whatever God has spoken to you about. God spoke to you tonight and you need to respond. I think the best thing is to bring it to the altar, but if you want to do it there at your pew, you can do that. Just respond by saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it." Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truths of your word, for the different biblical stories that you have preserved for us, and the biblical characters, especially for this powerful prophet of God named Elijah. And God, help us to learn from the very experiences that you took him through, to teach him what you want all of us to learn as well. I pray that we would be stronger and our faith would increase because of it. Now be with us as we get ready to leave here tonight. Get us all home safely. Bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.